The preaching text this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read the first 13 verses here, and then a couple of verses towards the end of the passage. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, yet to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, and various kinds of tongues. May God bless the reading of his word for us this morning. I want to ask you this morning to think back to a time in your life when you were given a gift. As soon as I say that or pose that question, in our mind there's a line that goes right down the middle of the page. And on one side of that page is a list of the gifts that we received that we liked or enjoyed or were surprised by or asked for or used. And on the other side of that ledger is a list of the gifts that, well, we just would have been fine if they were never given to us. And in fact, in some cases, those gifts may have been more of a burden than a gift to us. Think about the gifts on the one side that was a good gift, a gift that you used over and over and over again. I'm thinking about those gifts in my life, and I'm seeing in your eyes those kinds of gifts that you've received and we've received that we enjoyed, that we were thankful for, that stirred our heart, that may have made us squeal just a little bit. There's puppies and cars and dolls and maybe a necklace or a ring. There's special vacations, maybe the gift of a family or the gift of something significant that was given to us that when looking back, we can't imagine what life would have been like or be like without that gift. And many of our memories, many of our stories are wrapped up in the telling or the thinking or being reminded of those good gifts or that good gift. And it's as much a part of who we are as anything else. And now think about the gifts on that other side. The gifts that we didn't appreciate, we didn't ask for, we didn't want, we didn't think twice about. I won't create that list for you, but on that side of the ledger for me, that list is socks and toenail clippers and fruitcakes. And I have to tell you that there have been times when I may have accidentally, you know, left that gift behind or accidentally put that gift out with the wrappings that it came in and never found its way back to my room or my house just because I did not need that gift in my life. The way we remember and think about gifts depends on if they were things we wanted or maybe things that we didn't know that we wanted, but as soon as we received them, we thought, that's what's been missing in my life. That's what I need. Or the gifts that we did not want. We do not want to remember getting the gift. We are not thankful that someone sacrificed or thought of us in such a way. In fact, it's embarrassing and inconvenient and a little bit of a burden. The thing about a gift is we don't know how it's going to impact our life until we receive it. The series that we're in on Where the Spirit Leads is a series focused in on the Holy Spirit's activity and presence in our life and in our church and in our world. And the title of the series is Where the Spirit Leads, but that's a little bit misleading because the primary purpose of God's activity through His Spirit isn't necessarily to take us or move us anywhere in a physical way, but rather to bring to light and to illuminate everything internally, everything about us that He put into us in our creation and wants to manifest and bring to its fullness by the power of His Holy Spirit. And so when we are speaking of the Holy Spirit, we aren't just speaking of the Spirit of God that's moving around everywhere, but we are rightly thinking of the Spirit of God that's present in us. And that in and of itself is a great gift, whether we've ever thought about it or not. To not think of God as being something that's left in the sanctuary or the temple or hidden in a book somewhere that we get out at special times and sacred events, but that God's Spirit is alive and active and present in our lives constantly, continually. And that's the kind of gift that we want to reflect on and think about and enjoy forever and ever and ever. We've spoken and we've looked at how the leading of the Spirit and the calling of God calls us to come close and yet also to prepare or to go forth. But there's a very real point of this that speaks of the taking hold of the Spirit in our life. God's manifest presence down upon us and in us in such a way that it takes hold and takes root in us through our faith and through the working of God. What we read this morning in the 12th chapter of Corinthians is speaking and really elaborating on the gifts of the Spirit that's active and present in our lives, not in a person's life or in some people's life, but in the lives of all people of faith, all who claim Jesus as Lord, all believe that the Spirit of God is active and moving and present in our world. In that fourth verse, the writer of this letter, which is the Apostle Paul, speaks of gifts and services and activities, and yet all by the one Spirit. So we'll speak and talk of the spiritual gifts, but there's spiritual services and spiritual activities, yet all tethered together by this one Spirit. And it's not just the Spirit here. The writer in the fourth verse speaks clearly of Father, Son, and Spirit as he speaks of gifts and services and activities. There's various fruit produced, meaning there's various evidence or products of having the Spirit of God in us and working through us, and yet it's the same Spirit at work causing it by the power and the glory of God. God works in a variety of ways in this church and in other churches, and yet it's not many gods or different gods, it's one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, in chapter 12, we've read two accounts of the spiritual gifts. Last week in Ephesians 4, we looked at a passage that spoke of the gifts, and those were more of the gifts of the office-type gifts. Next week will be Romans 12, and we'll list even more of the gifts here, but this isn't a passage that's reserved just for the letter to the church at Corinth or specifically to the church on Montrose Boulevard. But it's a church for the kingdom of God in all ages and in all places. For while we may speak a different language than the first century church, And we may gather in ways and cultivate our worship in ways different than the mid-century church. We are all one church and driven and defined by one God. The gifts named in this passage, starting in verse 8, are the gifts of wisdom and knowledge and faith, of healing, of miracles, of prophecy, of speaking languages, and also of interpreting languages. Now, I don't know if you'll believe me when I say this, but in this room this morning, and maybe also those who are in the foyer or out to the bathroom and maybe in the Sunday school wing there with kids, in our gathering, in this building, I believe is an expression of every one of these gifts. It's not that we have one of these gifts here and one of them at the church over on Main Street and another one that under the church is down Bissonnette. But God gives his gifts generously to those who gather and are unified by his Spirit. The gift of wisdom here is speaking of really the gift of a secular or earthly knowledge. And that doesn't make it simple. That just means that those who are engineers, those who are teachers, those who are accountants, those who have other professions, and even that aren't trained, but there are people that have just this natural sense of wisdom and intellect. That is what he's speaking of here. And in a room like this, down the hallway in this building, there is great wisdom. The gift of knowledge is really the gift of connecting to God spiritually. It's the ability to see through the things of this world, even through our own self, our own intellect, to see the truth of God, to hear the gospel of God. The word, Greek word there is gnosis. And it's the ability to connect to and understand and accept the truth of God in its fullness. Now, I'm not sure, but that seems like the kind of gift that almost all of us this morning will be able to say, I've got at least some of that gift, if not all of that gift. It speaks of the gift of faith, which is very clear, but it's really, really not just the ability to believe, but to act on that belief, to be bold in that belief. The gift of healing is a gift that we would easily say is a gift for medical professionals, both those that are physicians and those that do clinical work, that are therapists. The ability to heal people. And the difference between healing and miracles is that healing here is something that may take days or weeks or years in the ability to heal. And that's a gift of God. But the gift of miracles is something that happens often very quickly, in a moment. And we go, we have no explanation for how that happened. There's nothing in the textbook. There's nothing in the protocol, nothing in the research. But we just know that the outcome is very positive, very good. And it's a miracle, even some will say. The spiritual gift of prophecy is not the ability to see around the corner at what's coming, but rather is closer to our understanding of preaching and teaching. It's the ability to take this truth of God, this word that God gives to a woman or to a man, to speak in a teaching way or in a preaching way for people to hear and receive and have their knowledge or their wisdom or their faith encouraged and strengthened. Then there's the gift of speaking languages and the gift of interpreting languages. This is not a text, and these aren't words used here to talk about a special private worship language, but about the known languages that we have in the world and the ability for some people to speak a language sometimes without any training. It's a gift. And then the ability to interpret such a language. Now, I can tell you that if it was a requirement to get into heaven for me to speak something besides English, I would probably have no hope. I am the furthest one probably in this room to have the gift of interpreting languages or speaking languages other than the language that my mama taught me. But there are people in this room that can handle languages like the change in my pocket. And even when they have no experience in speaking a language that a new person or a friend has brought to them, they somehow find a way to communicate and connect with them. And when you see that happening, it is amazing. And then they go on and they're able to deepen that, develop that, and, and become an interpreter or explainer of languages. And that's the only way we're able not just to communicate with cultures and countries around the world, but to share the gospel in places that don't speak English or speak Spanish or speak any of the original ancient languages. Now, these aren't unusual gifts. These are common gifts that the Bible is teaching us. It's in no way saying to us that only in the Church of Corinth did these gifts exist, but it's saying to us very clearly and very readily that we should expect such gifts to be present in our gatherings in every generation, in every era, and we should use it as a way, or receive it as a way, to glorify God, to strengthen the church, and to bear witness to others of God's presence and God's care and God's concern upon the world. The problem is that, though, much like the Church of Corinth, we tend to elevate certain gifts over other gifts. Now, in this church, the church in Corinth, Paul is writing both in the first and the second letter to them about the problem that they have of elevating the ability to speak in tongues or languages. And the person or the people that had that gift in that gathering were elevated. They were special. They were unique. I don't know if they took the good seats on the stage or if they had private offices or what, but it had become a problem that those with those gifts were seen as the leaders of the church, not because of their spiritual maturity, but because of their charisma or their gifting, which wasn't natural, but divine. We do the same thing, not necessarily around that gift, but around gifts that impress us or gifts that speak to us. Now in my life, I have two examples that I have thought about, I don't know how many hours total in my life, of people with unusual or supernatural spiritual gifts of God to minister to people. On one end is Billy Graham, who has been gone from this earth for more than a decade and has not preached in more than two decades at all. And yet I think if you find a stranger that has any semblance of American Christianity, they'll offer Billy Graham as somebody that was important and somebody that was a person of God and someone that knew how to preach the gospel. And not only did he preach, but he organized in such a powerful way to get people to hear the gospel. And he started things like Christianity Today and Samaritan's Purse and many other ministries. I think something like 25 ministries he started that are still rolling today, long past his leadership. He was supernaturally gifted, and he may be one that we would say he has all the spiritual gifts. God gave him all of those gifts. But on the other side of that pendulum in my life is a person named Dot Hightower, or Mama Dot, as we call her. She never preached. I can't think of her ever even teaching a lesson when I was a teenager, but she was the youth sponsor. And when me and my friends had troubles, teenage troubles, you know who we went to? But the pastor. It was rarely our parents. It was sometimes our best friend if we thought they had any spiritual advice worth following. But more often than not, it was this white-haired lady named Dot Hightower who never quoted verse at us, never gave us great steps to follow, but she always said, it's going to be okay. You can trust God in this. God knows what's going on, and you can trust in that. And you just need to be still and be quiet and hear his voice for your life. Not my voice for your life, his voice for your life. She in no way had all of those gifts, but she had the gift of wisdom and knowledge and faith, and in many cases expressed a ministry of healing for teenagers that were hurting from situations in their life. And rather than elevating the gift of tongues or the gift of preaching or the gift of any of those things, This passage is calling us to be thankful for and connected to all of the gifts that God gives to us so that we may be strengthened in our faith and strengthened as a congregation. The key verse is in verse 7 where it says, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." That's the New American Version. Here's the New Living Version. A spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. Each spiritual gift is necessary. Each gift is valued. Each gift is spiritual. Each gift of God is essential. Each gift that God has given to all of us makes an impact. And I'll say again, every person in this room, from the oldest, don't raise your hand, to the youngest, I think she's sitting on Mama's lap right there in this room, has a spiritual gift to be identified and used and cultivated for the ministry of Christ at Central Methodist Church and beyond. Well, Pastor, how can we know our spiritual gifts? There's tests. Google it. You'll find spiritual gift tests, and that might be a good start. But talk to your friends. Speak to those that know you about the things in your life that they have witnessed and seen, and they'll tell you much about what they believe about you and have experienced from you, even if you've not seen it. Study spiritual gifts. Reflect on them personally. Pray for God to help you know what your spiritual gift is. And then use it in the church and at home and out there, wherever out there is. And know that the gift that you have from God is something to not just identify and be aware of, but something to use and to develop. Because if it's not used and not developed, not only does it weaken, but it leaves a hole in the church. So if your gift is faith or service or healing or languages or knowledge or preaching or any of the things from last week's set or next week's set, if you know it and see it in your life and don't use it, it weakens this congregation in an immense way. I mentioned Billy Graham earlier, and he had a quote that I love to read. He says, "God has given us two hands, one to receive with and others to give with. Such has God given us one spiritual gift. And it comes in the form, or it comes to us in one hand to receive, and yet in another hand to give away." To have a gift, not just to say, "Wow, I've got the gift of knowledge. Look at me." But to have that gift and to use it for your strengthening and your encouragement and your building up. Whatever your gift is, Central Methodist Church, don't keep it to yourself. Use it for the good of others. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for your love for us and your care and concern and presence in our life. I pray you would bless us in all that we say and do. As we seek to know your will, Lord, let us see it clearly. As we look to find where you have gifted us with gifts of service to be used in the church, Lord, let us see that gift and let us give thanks for it and use it for your glory. God, I pray that as we seek you out in all of the challenges and trials of life, that we would believe and sense that we are not alone, that it's not up to us, but that you are close to us and care for us. And you are at work in our lives through your Spirit long before we ever recognize it or ask for it. So, Lord, I pray that we would let your Spirit lead us in any way you want, and anything that you have before us, in all things, Lord, that we may see.